ideas start to boil and bubble from deep within. It will restore your sense of childlike wonder for what was already there.
This is Powell Berger, a 50-year-old entrepreneur and mom from Kailua, Hawaii. I'm my best when we're traveling. I'm more open, more aware, more present. I still have emails and obligations and deadlines, but even on a bad day, when it's 100 degrees and there's no AC and there's laundry to be done, I know how incredibly lucky I am. If I can bring even a little of that back home with me, I make my world a slightly better place.
Quotes for Chapter 10. Joseph Campbell, from The Power of Myth. People say that what we are all seeking is a meaning for life. I don't think this is what we're really seeking. I think what we're seeking is an experience of being alive. Annie Dillard, from Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. The world is wilder in all directions, more dangerous and bitter, more extravagant and bright. We are making hay when we should be making whoopee. We are raising tomatoes when we should be raising Cain and Lazarus. From the Kaushutaki Upanishad, it is not speech we should want to know. We should want to know the speaker. It is not things seen which we should want to know. We should want to know the seer. It is not sounds which we should want to know. We should know the hearer. It is not the mind which we should want to know. We should know the thinker. Rilke, from Letters to a Young Poet. We must assume our existence as broadly as we in any way can. Everything, even the unheard of, must be possible in it. That is at bottom the only courage that is demanded of us, to have the courage for the most strange, the most singular, and the most inexplicable that we may encounter. Walt Whitman, from Song of the Rolling Earth. Whoever you are, motion and reflection are especially for you. The divine ship sails the divine sea for you. Whoever you are, you are he or she for whom the earth is solid or liquid. You are he or she for whom the sun and moon hang in the sky. For none more than you are the present and the past. For none more than you is immortality. Annie Dillard, Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. Beauty and grace are performed whether or not we sense them. The least we can do is try to be there. Tip Sheet, Chapter 10. Please visit vagabonding.net/resources for up-to-date resources about spiritual travel readings and sacred texts. Part 5, Coming Home. Chapter 11, Live the Story. Of all the adventures and challenges that wait on the vagabonding road, the most difficult can be the act of coming home. On a certain level, coming home will be a drag because it signals the end of all the fun, freedom, and serendipity that you enjoyed on the road. But on a less tangible level, returning home after a vivid experience overseas can be just plain weird and unsettling. Every aspect of home will look more or less like it did when you left, but it will feel completely different. In trying to make sense of this homecoming experience, people often quote T.S. Eliot's Little Gidding. And the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. As inspiring as this sounds, however, knowing your home for the first time means that you'll feel like a stranger in a place that should feel familiar. Initially, you'll enjoy rediscovering all the little aspects of home that you missed in faraway lands, long hot showers, the latest movies in full Dolby sound, dinner and drinks at your favorite restaurants and hangouts. But after a few days of indulgence, you'll begin to feel a strange sensation of homesickness for the road. Your old friends will offer absolutely no help in this regard. As exciting and life-changing as your travel experiences were, your friends will rarely be able to relate because they don't share the values that took you out on the road in the first place. You may have shared your soul with a fellow traveler you'd known for 2 hours in Zambia, but for some reason you'll be unable to get your closest friends to break out of their standard conversation patterns and take an interest in your adventures. A vivid illustration of this social disparity comes from an American vagabonder, Jason Gasparo, who wrote me in an email, "One of the most difficult things I experienced in my travels was trying to relate what I'd experienced to old friends and acquaintances who'd been at home the whole time I was gone. When I recounted how I got into a fight with a Javanese transvestite, swam with barracuda, or ate spicy dog with rice, they'd get a glazed look in their eyes. When I finished telling them these stories, there was little response. Wow, they'd say with weak enthusiasm. Then they'd tell me about what happened at the local pub and how they'd hooked up with Sally from college again. Here I thought I was missing out on so much when I was gone, but those reunions made me realize that I was a changed person. Encounters such as this will make you realize why travel should always be a personally motivated undertaking. Try as you might, you simply can't make the social rewards of travel match up to the private discoveries. In sharing your road experiences, then, remember to keep your story short and save the best bits for yourself. "I swear I see what is better than to tell the best," wrote Walt Whitman. "It is always to leave the best untold." Moreover, telling the story is not nearly as important as living the story. Indeed, your vagabonding experience need not be some quaint sandcastle that washes away when you return home. If travel truly is in the journey and not the destination, if travel really is an attitude of awareness and openness to new things, then any moment can be considered travel. Objects which are usually the motives of our travels are often overlooked and neglected if they lie under our eyes, wrote Pliny the Elder over 2,000 years ago. With this in mind, it's important to remember that your vagabonding attitude is not something you can turn off and on when it's convenient. Rather, it's an ongoing organic process that can be applied even as you unpack your bags and readjust to home. After all, hitting the road to get travel out of your system rarely works, so the best remedy upon returning home is to make travel a part of your system. One immediate reward of such an attitude will be how it instantly connects your home with the rest of the planet. Your travels, you will discover, have awakened you to parts of the world and awakened parts of the world within you. Experiences and observations that didn't quite make sense on the road will suddenly come into perspective as you once again become a part of your home community. International news about the regions you visited will resonate in a personal way, and you'll come to realize how the mass media can only offer a partial perspective on other places and cultures. As you continue to read, learn, and think about the places you once visited, you'll realize that your travels never fully end. Even in times of solitude at home, you'll feel less like an isolated individual than part of a greater community of people and places, near and far, past and future. As for the practical challenges of re-entry into your home life, moving in, finding a job, starting a routine, confront them all as new adventures. Rediscover your work and do it well. Redeploy your simplicity and make it pay out in free time. Emulate the best of people who themselves were at home when you met them on your travels. Pinpoint what you learned from them, hospitality, fun, reverence, integrity, and incorporate these things into your own life. Integrate the deliberate pace and fresh perspective that made your travel experience so vivid, and allow for unstructured time in your day-to-day home schedule. Don't let the vices you conquered on the road, fear, selfishness, vanity, prejudice, envy, creep back into your daily life. Explore your hometown as if it were an exotic land, and take an interest in your neighbors as if they were exotic tribesmen. Keep things real and keep on learning. Be creative and get into adventures. Earn your freedom all over again, and don't set limits. Keep things simple and let your spirit grow. But, most of all, keep living your life in such a way that allows your dreams room to breathe. Because you never know when you'll feel the urge to hit the road again. That concludes Vagabonding, an uncommon guide to the art of long-term world travel, audiobook edition. This is Rolf Potts, the author. Thanks a lot for listening. If you want to know more about vagabonding or about me, you can go to my websites, vagabonding.net or rolfpotts.com. And there you can find all sorts of resources and my contact information if you want to send me a question directly. Take care and happy vagabonding.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.